Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex. I'm Charlotte.
I'm Chris.
And we're the Pleasure Mechanics.
In this podcast, we offer expert advice and practical strategies so you can experience more sexual pleasure. We use explicit language and nothing is taboo. You can submit a question to be answered on future episodes of Speaking of Sex by visiting us at pleasuremechanics.com, going to the Ask Us Anything page, and submitting your question. Or you can call us at 302-IN-TOUCH and leaving a voicemail message. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about adultery, infidelity, and cheating, how to prevent it. We get so many questions from people who think that their spouses might be cheating, from men who have cheated and are feeling guilty about it, or from new couples who want to know how to cheat-proof their relationship. So we're going to offer some really, really practical strategies for your relationship that will prevent cheating and infidelity and all of the emotional fallout that those things can bring. We hope that the strategies we present today help you maintain a really happy, healthy relationship over the long run.
And of course, this is a really complex issue and every relationship is different, but we hope that the strategies support you in navigating the terrain of your relationship.
So people use different language to describe cheating. Adultery is a really common term, but the dictionary definition of adultery is extramarital sex, and it kind of comes from our Judeo-Christian roots that police sexual behavior based on marital status. And what we're going to be talking today applies to everyone in a long-term relationship, or in a relationship at all, actually, whether they're married or not. So we're going to set adultery aside as a term and use the word cheating instead. Infidelity is another word that people use, and its dictionary definition is the action or state of being unfaithful to your spouse or sexual partner. And it comes from the understanding of faithfulness and trust and breaching that, because you also use infidel for someone who's a non-believer in a specific religion. So it's this idea that your relationship is this sacred union, this sacred trust, and when you cheat on your partner, that you're being unfaithful, you're breaking that faith. So I think the words cheating and infidelity have a lot of the same meaning to us, and it comes from an understanding of a sexual emotional relationship as a kind of contract.
We don't often think about relationships as contracts, but whether or not you've ever had an explicit conversation determining your particular contract in your relationship, every relationship has at its foundation a set of agreements.
And some of these agreements come from our culture, and some of them come from our very deep personal expectations. And so we think it's really important in any relationship, whether you're just starting dating someone or you're in a long-term marriage or relationship, that you make explicit and you speak out loud what your agreements are with one another. Because how can we expect one another to be faithful, to not cheat, not break these agreements, if we're not clear what those agreements are, right? Like when you enter into any other kind of legal contract or big agreement, whether it's with your workplace or you're buying a car or opening a bank account, you get a really detailed report of what you're agreeing to. So you can point back to it and say, see here, you agreed to this set of conditions and you've broken them. Or you've agreed to this set of conditions and you're doing a fabulous job fulfilling them. We're going to reward you for it. But in relationships, often we let these agreements go unspoken and we expect that you're on the same page, and this can have really devastating consequences. So what we're going to encourage you to do is have lots of conversations. This isn't something that happens just once, one time, but have many conversations over the years where you make explicit the set of agreements that your relationship is based upon.
I think that the word contract is not a very sexy word in our culture. Like, it does remind us of all these business agreements, but there can be something incredibly sexy and comforting and clarifying about really determining what you each want out of your relationship and what you're agreeing to and what you're not agreeing to. So it can actually be an extremely romantic process to determine clearly what kind of relationship you want. And I think it's one aspect actually from 50 Shades of Grey that got a lot of attention was this part in it where they created a contract.
Right. And that idea can be exported to any kind of relationship where you create a clear set of expectations for one another. And what this allows, and what Charlotte, I think, was speaking to, is then you're allowed to invest fully and unabashedly in one another. Because if you trust one another to hold to this agreement, then you can really invest emotionally, sexually, with your time and attention into the relationship. If you have no trust between you and you have no set of agreements that you're going to hold to, it makes it really hard to invest. And a lot of what a relationship is, when you look at it, is an investment in one another. You're putting your life's energy and resources into creating something together. And that's a lot safer of an investment when you have a set of agreements that you both can hold one another to.
Often people report when there has been any kind of cheating or infidelity that what hurts the most is that betrayal of trust, not actually the act of what happened. So preserving and cultivating trust between the two of you is one of the most sacred, most important parts of having a relationship.
For sure. And what we want to really emphasize here is that you can cheat in a polyamorous relationship where you're allowed to fuck other people. There still might be agreements that you can break and trust that you can destroy. And you can cheat without ever having kissed or having sex with another person. It's not really about the act. It's about breaking your agreement with your lover. And that's where the essence of cheating comes in. It's in that betrayal of trust, not specifically what you're doing with your body parts. And so it becomes a very personal thing for each couple to define the parameters of their relationship. And towards that end, we're going to encourage you to define three essential qualities that make up the contract of your relationship. And those are your needs, your desires, and your boundaries.
This is where it gets interesting. Because figuring out what your needs are is a really complicated erotic skill, actually. And
a personal life skill that goes far beyond the bedroom.
Totally. But in this specific context, it includes your erotic life as well. So figuring out what are your actual needs at this particular stage in your life, as Chris was saying before, like, it does change over a lifetime for sure. If there are sick parents, if there are newborns, it's going to change entirely. But like right now, what do you really need in your relationship from your lover? And equally, what do they need from you?
And when we talk about needs, we're talking about the baseline needs, what you need to feel happy and satisfied and paid attention to and loved. And these are kind of, as I said, the baseline for what fills you up and makes you feel good. Desires are kind of the icing on top of that cake, because desires are not actual needs. You can desire a lot of things, but you don't need them to stay alive and be happy and be fulfilled. And I think this is a really important thing, because we expect sometimes our lovers to not only meet all of our needs, but satisfy all of our desires and do both of them without ever being told what those needs and desires are. And that's a huge, huge burden to place on a lover. And our culture has this myth of, you know, if the chemistry's right, you'll just know. And that's bullshit. You don't just know. You learn about your partner over time. And a lot of that learning comes from the honest communication of authentic needs and desires. So here are some examples. You might need the experience of a few minutes of intimate conversation every day. And those few minutes of intimate conversation where you're feeling fully paid attention to and listened to help you feel close to your lover and in the relationship and cared for. And if that doesn't happen for a few days in a row, you start getting kind of itchy and emotionally unsatisfied and a little distant. And those experiences, those emotions can show you what your needs are. So when your needs are not met, you start feeling unsatisfied. So another person might need sex once a week. If they don't have sex once a week, they start feeling unsatisfied. So your needs are kind of, what are the baseline that make you feel happy and can keep you going week to week to week, month to month, year to year, feeling satisfied in life, feeling like, yeah, things are good. We're all, everything's copacetic.
Needs can be emotional or they can be physical or they can be both. And again, determining what you need is kind of a hard thing. And it might be a process of experimentation or trying to figure that out. I know that I really need some kind of touch every day. And if I don't get that, I will feel distant.
Right. And knowing about my partner's needs, I then make it a priority to meet those needs and satisfy those needs. And so when we get clear about what our needs are, we can ask them to be satisfied from our partner. And when they're not satisfied, we can say, hey, I know you're busy. I just really need to sit down with you for a few minutes and check in about how we're doing. Or, you know, we haven't had sex in a few weeks now. I'm really aching for it. Can we make that a priority? And part of the relationship contract is choosing to make one another's needs your priority. And this is where being in a relationship means getting outside of yourself enough to care about someone to meet their needs. There also is a point here that must be made that it's not solely your partner's responsibility to meet your needs. You have to do that for yourself too. And in these negotiations, you need to be really honest with yourself. And if your partner is never going to meet your need for emotional conversation, you might need to cultivate friendships that can do that for you. Or if your partner is never really going to meet your need for sex 4 times a week consistently, you then need to figure out how you're going to make a masturbation life that's satisfying enough to meet that need for yourself. Right? So it's both your responsibility and within the relationship, you can cultivate how you're going to create a lifestyle that will get both of your needs met. Because if your needs aren't met, you're never going to be happy. You're going to start developing resentment and things will go downhill. And this is the number one thing we see is people are not honestly expressing their needs. And that sets you up for an unsatisfying relationship. And when your needs aren't met from your partner, someone else in your life in another realm, maybe a coworker or a friend or a stranger you meet at the bar, might tempt you into getting your needs met outside of your relationship. And that's when cheating happens.
And there's a process of negotiation that happens. If you come to your partner and say, I really feel like I need sex 4 times a week. And your partner is like, I can realistically offer you once a week because that's what I feel like I can do. Then you guys can decide together, what can you do those other 3 times? Like, what are your agreements around your masturbation life? Like, is watching online pornography like absolutely fine? Is watching your lover masturbate like so that they're included in your erotic experience? Does that count? Would a blowjob once a week be a satisfactory alternative? Like, what are all the different ways you can get that met? Or is it really like you have to handle yourself for 3 times and you get the one? You know, this is a conversation that you have, and it takes being really honest and being unjudgmental about what your partner says to you. And this is hard. This is a hard thing to do. It is not simple to hear what your lover wants if it's different from what you want. And it takes emotional maturity and skill to be able to hear that and to be able to know what you want and express it. So please proceed with caution and with care, and try and set the conversations up so that you are being sensitive. You have time to have the conversations in a considerate, kind, loving sort of way.
And I think essential to this, and this brings us to desires, is determining for yourself, what are your needs and what are your desires? Because as I said before, desires kind of go beyond your basic baseline needs and into that realm of what would make you extra happy and what would feel really exciting sexually and what really would fill you up with excitement and joy and love. And I think this is where the fun part of a relationship comes, is when you can not only meet your partner's needs, but start fulfilling some of their desires. And when you get to the point where you can express your desires authentically and your partner can start meeting you there and together you start fulfilling some of your desires. And I'm talking about sexual desires and desires in life. Because I think as a partnership, as a relationship, what's so exciting is being able to support one another in having the best life possible. And so if you know that your partner's desire is to write a book and they have that in them and that's always something they've wanted to do, then you can really give them a gift of setting aside a few, an hour a day in the evening where they get to write and you get to support them in that and love them through that process and encourage them and meet their desire to be a writer. Or sexually, if they have the desire to experience dominance and submission, you get to then experience that together and say, how do we figure this out together? How do I support you in experiencing that pleasure of your desire? And this is where life can become so rich and full together and go way beyond meeting one another's basic needs and go into the creation of the most exciting, beautiful, joyful life possible. And I think it's only through clear communication about your needs and your desires that you can get there and your relationship becomes something more than a mundane partnership where you're kind of going through life's mechanics together and becoming, bureaucratic partners in running a household, but never actually supporting one another in the fulfillment of each other's authentic life desires.
And of course, a relationship has that, or a relationship, a domestic relationship has that piece where you are going through the details of life. And so how do you do that in a way that is also supportive? One of somebody's needs before they can even think about sex, maybe I need more help in the house. These things can feel mundane, but they actually can be profoundly emotionally fulfilling as well.
Right. And I think that's why it's important to think of your needs and then your desires on top of that. And so if you're clear what your needs are, your desires get to emerge. And that's where a lot of the pleasure is. For a lot of people, they have a need to be financially secure, know their household is running well, know what the next meal on the table is going to be. And those are like life's basic needs that if you handle together as a partnership, desires can really emerge and the pleasure starts flowing. And there's a lot of, talk that, for men to get more sex, all they need to do is help with the dishes. And men will write to us and be like, well, I'm helping with the dishes and I'm not getting more sex. And it's not really about the dishes. It's about fulfilling one another on that need level so that each of you is secure and safe in the sense of being held together in life and that your life is running smoothly to get together. So even if the dishes are done, your wife or your husband might be worrying about a million other things on that need level. And once you start expressing them and fulfilling them together as a team, the desires and the extra pleasures in life get a lot more space and attention.
I really like your man voice, by the way.
Thanks. I've been working on it for years. So we've talked about needs. We've talked about desires. Now let's talk about boundaries.
So boundaries are where things get interesting, and every single couple will have a different set of boundaries. And this is one of these things that often goes completely unspoken and can get sticky. So it's incredibly valuable to discuss what you guys agree to. So I feel like things that can be discussed are, how do people use pornography? Is reading erotica totally fine with each of you? Is flirting okay lightly, but perhaps not getting people's phone numbers and not texting or communicating with people?
So let's talk about flirting, because I think this is the one where so many couples end up in murky waters and accusations of cheating start flying when there is no malintention in the first place. So when we say flirting, we're talking about using your sexuality, turning on your sexual charm, and engaging in that light banter with someone you find desirable and may find you desirable, and you're in that kind of beginning phases of just checking each other out and enjoying one another's sexuality. For a lot of people, this is completely off limits once you're in a relationship. The problem with that perspective, though, which a lot of people have, and you said an unspoken way, is that you can find yourself accused of flirting when you just thought you were being friendly. And that line between friendly and flirtatious is razor thin. And so you might want to have a conversation with your partner about where that line is, how you feel about it, and what your expectations and your boundaries are. So you might say, you know, flirt away, be your charming self, but yeah, don't ask for anyone's phone number, don't start texting them without telling me. You know, I'd really like to know if you're starting to get into serious conversations with someone that you find desirable. And that is a perfectly healthy boundary to expect your lover to keep. But if you say, like, don't even, like, look at that woman that way, and if you go up there and start talking to her, like, I'm going to feel so betrayed, like, that's really putting this psychic muzzle on your lover that might make them feel really pent up and really controlled and may backfire on you. And so you need to find a boundary that feels good for both of you and that doesn't feel like you're being kept under lock and key.
There's also some evidence that relationships where people get to see their partners flirt with other people is actually kind of stimulating for somebody, because it is reminding you that your partner is desirable and you get them. So it's also valuable to explore your feelings about that or experiment a little bit and see how it feels. But I think that, and this kind of goes into this piece, that we feel like actually each of us is responsible for our own sexuality, that you can never really, somebody can never really own it unless you want to get into playing those games. But really, no one owns it. You are sharing the gift of your sexuality with somebody that you choose to. And so there's something powerful about allowing yourself to be sexual in the world lightly, if that is your choice, to flirt gently with people and to enjoy that sort of sexual energy without it going any further, knowing that you have boundaries set, that you won't be participating in any further liaisons, but to allow yourself and your partner to enjoy a light flirtation. Like, that is something that works for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think it's actually interesting, because I'm finding myself really opinionated about this point, kind of unexpectedly, because I think when you limit your partner's ability to flirt with other people, what you're really asking them to do is shut down their sexuality if it's not exclusively devoted to you. And when you do that, I think in a lot of ways, it shuts down their sexuality, period, because they don't feel ownership over their sexual energy anymore. They feel like they have it under very strict circumstances, and their mojo, their charm, kind of starts to dissipate. Where on the other hand, if you say to your partner, like, go be your badass sexy self out in the world and be powerful and shine that energy into the world, you're giving them permission to, like, stay turned on in life and be how charming and beautiful and radiant they can be. And that's going to have all sorts of positive impacts on their life. I'm getting reminded of a story I had. I was talking to this couple and it ended up in this huge fight in our living room, but the guy was a salesperson and I kind of just casually said, like, oh, and he was a very beautiful, attractive man. And I kind of said to him, like, do women flirt with you all the time on the sales floor? And he was like, yeah, you know, and, like, sometimes it helps me make a sale and get that commission. And the woman, like, hit the fan. Like, she was so upset about this. She was so defensive. She got so angry and totally made him wrong for flirting in his workplace. And I think this is just one of these examples. Like, he's trying to, like, bring home the bacon and be a good provider for his wife and, you know, just being sexy in the world and experiencing the benefits of that. And she felt such ownership over him that she got so angry about it. And so I think this is one, and she felt cheated on. She used that word. She was like, you cheated on me and I don't even know it. And it's like, I think we need to get to a point where we can allow our partners to be sexual beings and feel trust and feel safe enough that they can be sexual beings out in the world and you know they're coming home to you. And you know that you have a safe enough relationship that if they feel desire to another person, they can feel that and own it and enjoy it and not betray your trust.
But that only works if you guys are clear that the boundary is set and that you are each going to hold that boundary strong and not overstep it. Because the fear is that people start flirting and then it goes somewhere else. But if you can flirt and just leave it at that and kind of get the energetic juice from it, but still stay within the boundaries, you're free. And this is all just one particular example of an agreement that a couple could make. Clearly, couples can make all sorts of agreements. This is just one that's probably most common because most people are in monogamous relationships and want to keep it that way.
Right. Or, you know, I know some bisexual women who are in relationships with men, and their agreement is they are allowed to make out with women. But if it goes beyond that, then they need to check in and maybe make it a threesome. And so those husbands are actually quite smart because it keeps their bisexual wives kind of open and juicy and ready to like explore with women, but says this very strict boundary that if you're going to do more than kiss, I want to be involved. And that seems to work for a lot of my bisexual female friends. So whatever your agreements are, if they're very clear and you both say, yes, I'm in, I fully agree to these things, you can trust me on them, you can relax and enjoy the experience of trust and being in that relationship much more fully. I think what the danger zone is when those boundaries are murky, you don't know what they are, and then one person feels betrayed when the other person didn't even mean to do anything wrong. Or one person feels so controlled and so constricted and repressed that they then act out. And let's be clear, this is what happens in a lot of cheating scenarios. The person cheating feels controlled and unsatisfied and that their needs are not met, and they lash out. And this is a lot like a rebellious teenager or a wild animal kept in a cage. If that constriction is too tight, acting out becomes a natural human response. And so how do we create relationships, even if they're monogamous, that creates enough freedom and enough distance from one another that you don't feel like you're being controlled? You feel like you're actively agreeing to a certain set of boundaries in order to invest more fully in each other. That's a really different thing, right? That's knowing where the boundaries of your garden is so you can take full care of that garden and water it and nourish it and watch your plants thrive rather than having a tiny little plant in a tiny little pot that's way too small. Does that metaphor work? I
mean, we really like to garden, but I don't know if everyone does, so...
But you catch my meaning, right? Like, I think it's really important for, as you said, each person to feel like an independent sexual being that is voluntarily devoting their sexual time and energy and resources to the other person rather than feeling like a caged animal with a muzzle on, which is, I think, what a lot of our monogamous relationship culture does to one another.
Right. And I think it's so interesting to begin to get creative about how you can get your needs met in a consensual way. I know there are some people that the guy really likes prostate massage and the wife has no interest in doing it, but gets that they want him to have that experience. And so they have an agreement that once in a while, when he has a feeling that he wants that, he is allowed to go see an erotic masseuse. And that is totally, that has been fine with her. And, you know, these are sort of very mature choices, I think, for people to make. And I'm not saying that's necessarily right for all relationships, but there are a lot of options out there.
Right. And that comes from knowing what your needs are, knowing what one another's desires are, and then negotiating what is a sustainable plan to get your needs met and meet each other and have your desires fulfilled.
But it also takes being really committed to having the other person's needs and desires met. Like, it takes being generous and wanting your person to be really fulfilled and to be ready to be of service to that and stretch yourself beyond perhaps what you feel like you would naturally do in service to your general interest, but also then not going over your own boundaries, which is different than stretching yourself beyond your comfort zone.
Right. So I think key here, and what I really want to be explicit about, is the goal for all of this is not only to get your needs and desires met, but to prevent the buildup of resentment and to prevent the buildup of bitterness. Because this is what I see in all of these emails we get from people who are in long-term relationships where there's been cheating or there's the desire to cheat, is there is a huge amount of resentment about people's needs not being met. And so in the preventative course of action, we want to encourage you to, as soon as you notice a little bit of resentment in your relationship, you've got to take responsibility and name it and confront your partner and say, when you did this, it made me feel bad. And how are we going to prevent that from happening again? And resentment can be anything from, you know, you're out with your buddies all day and I'm left cleaning the house and doing the food shopping and getting ready for the week to come. I need a little more help. Or it can be, you know, when you spend the entire dinner party flirting with the woman next to you and didn't pay attention to me at all, I felt really hurt. Whatever it is, whether it's physical, emotional, sexual, if you notice that day after day you're feeling a little bit of anger or annoyance or resentment about something, you need to speak up and take ownership for that and set things right in your relationship again. Because what happens is when resentment builds up, desire goes down. And so not only are you then resentful, you're not connecting with your partner, you're not meeting their sexual needs, and this becomes this really ugly negative spin cycle that leads couples to not connecting and not having any sexual intimacy for months or years or decades on end. And I am not being hyperbolic there. There's a lot of couples who do not touch one another for 5, 10, 15 years. And if you don't want your relationship to end up there, you need to make sure things are okay on a day-to-day basis. And if you are starting to develop emotional resentment, it's your responsibility to make it right again. And say what your needs were that weren't met, say what boundaries were crossed, and reinforce the state of your contract, of your relationship together that you feel like you've agreed upon. Right? So that might be, you know, when we're out on a date together, I want your full attention. We don't get to see each other that often. So when we do, I'd love to have your full attention. Please don't spend half the night flirting with a bartender.
Or being on your smartphone.
Yeah, and that's a big one, is like cheating on your lover with your fucking iPhone. I feel like a lot of people feel that way. It's like, we're on a date and you're checking your Twitter. Like, is your Twitter going to give you a blowjob at the end of the night? I don't think so. Like, attention back to me, please. And I make a bit of a joke about it, but that's actually where a lot of people's attention is drawn now, away from their lover, onto their technology. And that can develop a lot of resentment. We've had a lot of conversations with friends recently who are developing resentment over their partner's smartphones.
Attention.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've thrown a lot at you today, and what we really want to emphasize is that all of these strategies are to create a healthy and happy relationship that is sustainable over the years, and to create the conditions that will prevent your partner from betraying your trust, and that will prevent your partner from feeling so controlled and muzzled that they lash out and act out sexually and do something they'll regret. I often talk about resentment and regret as the toxic twins of a relationship. Anytime regret and resentment enter in the picture, there's something that needs to be set right. There's work to be done to get back to a state of loving one another, of voluntarily choosing to devote your time and love and energy and sexuality to one another. And remember that relationships are not prisons. These are not sentences. They're not punishments. Relationships should be a voluntary expression of who you are in the world and who you want to partner with to have the best life possible. And that's where we want to encourage you to get to, where you're feeling like your partner is your teammate and creating the most fabulous, awesome, pleasure-filled life possible.
And we think part of that is having these conversations and getting clear about what your needs, desires, and boundaries are, and that those conversations can be incredibly intimate, illuminating, and freeing.
Yeah. And so don't think of this work as like the drudgery work you have to do to be in a relationship. Think of it as the tools of liberation, the tools of encouraging you to have the best relationship possible. And these conversations can happen in really beautiful places, like go on a walk in the park near your house, go to the woods, go sit by a waterfall, go to an awesome coffee shop, get really yummy lattes and have this conversation. Go on a date night and like devour a steak together while you're like, baby, what are your needs right now? Are they being met? Am I doing a good job? Like check in as often as you can. And because that's a real act of love and generosity to be like, what are your needs? What are your desires? How are we doing? Let's like take this up a level and have an even more fabulous relationship.
Because how few lovers ask them that? Like both, I mean, there's in the bedroom, like, what can I do to make this even better? Which is fabulous. And then there's like in life, like, what can I do to make this even better? And what else do you need? Like, that is such a rare question. And to be the lover that's asking your partner that, where they get to really look inside and be like, what do I want? Actually, I would love a fucking foot massage every week while I watch my favorite TV show. That sounds incredible. Would you do that for me?
Absolutely.
You know, like, I don't know if that was my specific ask, but those sorts of things, it is about making your relationship so much like more exciting and rich. And it's just, that's sexy. And sometimes you're going to need support in having these conversations. If it's been a while and there's a bunch of resent and regret, like feel free to invest in therapy together. Find a really good couples therapist that you both connect with and like that can help around sexuality. Only some therapists are comfortable with sexuality, and so try and find someone that's open to that. But like being supported in having some of these conversations can be really valuable if that is what feels right for you guys. The other thing that people report being useful if you are getting close to feeling like you want to cheat, you're feeling the desire for someone specific, you're feeling something, is it's supposed to be really good to go home to your partner and report that and say, I am feeling this, it's scaring me a little. Can we do a check-in about what we need to keep us good? Because I'm noticing that obviously I have some needs that are not being met because my attention is straying and I want to bring it back in. And there's really no harm in doing that preventatively, because then your partner gets like a wake-up call, like, okay, we need to sort this out. But that is supposed to be really helpful.
Yeah, and it might actually take an unexpected turn. Like you might feel really interested in the new person at work. And in your conversation with your partner, you might discover that that interest is actually because you both love 80s music and you're bonding over this. And this has been a pleasure of yours that hasn't been paid attention to. And so your wife gives you permission to like go listen to 80s music and, you know, watch Saved by the Bell or whatever. But like, if that is actually your interest and it's not sexual, but it kind of feels erotic because it's tapping into one of your pleasures, like that might be the reality for you. Or you might feel really sexually pent up and want to fuck someone silly and maybe your wife will volunteer.
Well, I think this piece around being excited about 80s music is about that we each have so many different parts of ourselves and one person can't fulfill all of it, probably. And so different people wake up different parts of ourselves, and we are different people to an extent with other people. And it's okay to have that be the truth with certain boundaries kept.
Right. And if you start like texting this woman from work about your favorite 80s bands and your wife has a context for that, that like, oh, they're just geeking out together on it. It's not actually about flirting. It's not actually about creating a relationship. Like, that continues the trust, and you're within the boundaries and can have this pleasurable experience of connecting with another person. Because I think it's really sad when we shut down the opportunity to make new friends, especially of whatever sex you tend to be desire of, especially of, you know, the sex you tend to have sex with.
The sex that you are attracted to.
The sex you have sex with when you're having sex. A lot of people end up shutting down the possibility for friendship because they don't want to have that experience of feeling cheated on with their partner. And that really limits life. And so the more honest you can be and clear about these things, the more life you can live and the more pleasure you can feel and the more connection and intimacy you can feel with a lot of other people. And that's what builds community and friendship and that camaraderie with a lot of people, some of which you might find sexually desirable, but you're never going to act on that because you've got your boundaries intact. So you see where we're going with this. It's the clear communication that allows you to live the fullest, most pleasurable life. And that requires being vulnerable at times. That requires maybe like expressing some harder emotions and hearing that you might not be fulfilling all of your partner's desires. And being okay with that, knowing that you are not a superhero that can be all things to your partner all at once. And giving them permission to connect with other people who will meet some of their desires within your specific boundaries. But the other key to figuring out what you need is paying attention when you don't feel satisfied and when you don't feel happy. Like if you're going to bed at the end of every day not feeling happy and satisfied about your life, chances are your needs are not being met. And that is where these harder emotions, sadness, anger, jealousy, these emotions can be so useful and they can actually be your allies in figuring out what will make you feel happy and satisfied and content and excited and fulfilled. So there is a level of emotional maturity here, but we know you're capable of it. We're just not invited into it by our culture. We have this one size fits all cultural understanding of relationships where it's like, okay, you just pair off and then do life together and you'll make each other happy and that's it. We're not often invited to have these conversations about how to specifically get our needs met, know what those needs are, and then beyond that, name our desires and have our desires fulfilled. And that's really the key to a very pleasurable life is having the safety of boundaries under which your needs can be met and your desires fulfilled. Who doesn't want that? I do. And I'm going to make one more metaphor here and then we'll wrap up. A lot of it is about like giving gifts. So you know that friend who's really hard to buy a gift for because they never really express what they want. You never really know what they need. And so you end up buying them some like random piece of crap and they open it up and they're like, thanks. And you know that it's just going to like end up in the trash in a few months. That is so not fun. It feels like a waste of money and you never really want to do it. Versus giving a gift to that friend who has really specific interests and desires and you find the right thing and you're like, oh my God, they're going to love this. And they open it up and they light up with delight and they're like, thank you so much. How did you know this is exactly what I wanted? You knew it's what they wanted because they told you. They told you in their expression of their needs and their desires what would give them the most pleasure. And that person is so fun to buy gifts for, you may find yourself doing it for no good reason. And giving the gift of your time and attention is what a relationship is all about. And it becomes so much more fun and fulfilling when you know what the person needs. And many of us are very generous at heart. We want to give, we want to love a person well, and we just need a little help in knowing how to do that. And when we can get to that place where we're fulfilling one another, we're creating an awesome life together, cheating is much less likely to happen. You create the conditions in a relationship where you can say, honey, I'm feeling a little pent up. I'm not really feeling satisfied. Can you help me figure out why? And then you work together as a team to get back to that place of feeling like turned on and fulfilled and happy in your life. That's what a good relationship is all about. That's what we want to encourage you to strive for. That's what we want to support you in having. That's what a pleasure-filled life is all about. And when we say at the end of this podcast, we wish you a lifetime of pleasure, we fucking mean it. We want you to feel so happy and turned on and fulfilled in your life. And sexuality is a huge part of that, but it also extends to the rest of your life. And that's what we're going for here today, folks. So in a future podcast, we will cover strategies to stay sexually interested and excited by one another, how to keep a long-term relationship hot, how to maintain that intimacy and mystery over the long haul. That is a subject for an entire another episode altogether. So please stay tuned and subscribe on iTunes so you never miss an episode, because we have a lot more coming to you about keeping long-term relationships not only cheating-free, but full of hotness and pleasure and sexual satisfaction.
And remember, you can submit a question to be answered on this podcast by visiting pleasuremechanics.com and looking for the Ask Us Anything page, or by calling 302-IN-TOUCH. You can also subscribe to our free weekly newsletter for weekly sex advice, exclusive giveaways, and more at pleasuremechanics.com. And we'd love to offer you 20% off any of our download-to-own video guides at pleasuremechanics.com. If you use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX, all one word, on the second page of checkout, you can get 20% off any of our video guides. I'm Charlotte.
I'm Chris.
We're the Pleasure Mechanics, wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.